Well, good morning. It's really great to be here. I appreciate you turning the Tasmanian weather on for me. Thanks very much for that. But it's my fault because I'm here a week early, apparently. Some people are 5 minutes early, but I'm a week early, you know, so there we go. This morning, as we were worshipping, I was struck with one of the songs which was talking about shining bright for Jesus and talking about the fire of God. And I thought, that's interesting. And then as our sister Gail was singing in the spirit there, the Lord was saying to us that he loves us, he saw us before we were formed, before the beginning of our days. And I was sort of thinking about these things, and today I'd like to speak to you about success. Now, success has been quite an illusion for me. I was brought up in Beaconsfield Area School. That was in the olden days when they didn't have primary schools. They had area schools. Any of you ever remember that? Some of you must have done, surely. So anyway, I'm at Beaconsfield Area School, and I'm trying hard to be successful there at my studies and one thing and another, but I never really quite make it, and my report card at the end of the year was always the same. Could do better if tried harder. Anyway, so after years of that, I finally graduated to high school. So I had to go up the road to Riverside High School. And would you believe that horrible demonic thing followed me all the way up there. So sure enough, with my report card, I got the same thing from the high school. Could do better if tried harder. Well, I am trying hard. I'm trying to be a success, but it's not working out very well. So for me, it's an important thing, and I think that God does want us to be successful in life, but it's his kind of success that we need. And my question is, well, how do we measure all of this sort of thing? And what does God expect from us? And how can we be like the Lord Jesus Christ, which was in the prophetic song earlier on, if you were listening in? So I'd like to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to model my life on him. After all, I think he's the one that we can follow. He's the one that'll never let us down. So I reckon we've got someone there that can really provide a pattern for us in our lives. Success and what we measure success as is sort of a fleeting thing, and there's many different opinions. Now, this lady, young lady, she had a primary school class, multicultural, all boys. And so this particular day she went in and she said, today we're not going to have class, we're going to have this little bit of a survey, and it's $10 prize for the right answer. She immediately has the attention of every boy in the class. $10 a lot of money in those days. She'd have my attention as well. She said, what I want you to answer is, who is the most famous or who is the most successful person in all of history? So instantly, the little English boy, Peter, puts his hand up straight away and says, Miss, I know who it is. It's the Queen. And she says, well, that's a good answer, but it's not the answer I'm looking for. We need someone that has been the most successful person. So the next minute, up shoots the American boy's hand. His name is Chuck. Yes, Chuck, who is it? He said, Miss, I know who it is. It is the greatest president of the United States of America, Abraham Lincoln. And she said, great answer, but it's definitely not him. So she goes going on through the class, and finally another hand goes up and it's a little Indian boy, and she says, yes, Ravi, who is it? He says, Miss, I know who it is. It's Sachin Tendulkar, the greatest cricket player the world has ever known. Well, no, it's not him. Finally down the back this hand goes up and it's a little Jewish boy down the back there. His name is Levi. Yes, Levi, who is it? And he says, Miss, I know who it is. It's Jesus. She says, son, you're right. Jesus is the most successful person there's ever been. Come forward and get your prize. And as he's coming forward, she says to him, Levi, I'm surprised that you being a Jew would mention the Lord Jesus Christ. She said to him, I would have expected you to say Elijah or Moses or someone like that, but you've said Jesus. He said, yes, miss, but business is business. So success, you know, how do you measure success? Perhaps we'll have this clip on and then we'll go straight to God's word. Thank you. Here's some people that are failures. Thank you. If we could have the lights on, please, that'd be great. So people have different views on what success is. So I want to read to you today a verse from the Bible. It's found in Acts chapter 10, verse 38. And it says this. It says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. Here we are talking about Jesus of Nazareth. We are talking about a man just like you and I that walked the streets of Nazareth. We are talking today about a man who has feelings and emotions and temptations coming his way, just like you and I do. We're talking about a man today that's told that he's a fraud, that he's a fake, that he won't amount to anything and all of the rest of it. We're talking about Jesus of Nazareth. And I want you to think about Jesus of Nazareth today, because you see, he's just like us facing the issues of life. It says in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7 and 8, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission, and he learned obedience from what he suffered. So here we see Jesus of Nazareth is facing all kinds of issues in his life. Anyone like that here today, or that only happened in Tasmania? Where you're facing issues, you may be facing a health issue, you may be facing some other kind of issue in your life. Well, Jesus faced everything and the temptations that we face, yet he was without sin. And so we find that he became humble, he called on out to his Father every step of the way, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Now in Philippians chapter 2 from verse 5, it says this, your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ, who being in the very nature God, did not consider himself to be equal with God or to be something that is to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking on the nature of a servant and being made in human likeness and being in the appearance of a man. So Jesus of Nazareth left and laid aside much of his authority with the Father when he came to this earth, and placed himself in an environment that is contrary to the kingdom of God. Have you ever found as though you've been up against it because the environment is foreign to what's in your heart? Have you ever faced temptation and difficulty or someone speaking about you in a negative way? It's because we are children of God, but we are living in a foreign environment. Jesus says we are not of this world, but we are in this world. So Jesus faced all of these kind of things. And there's four things that he did that made the man, Jesus of Nazareth, successful in life. So I want us to be successful in the things of God, because the things of God are the things that will last. They are the things that will last for all of eternity. Now, I never made it in primary school or secondary school. I never made it in a number of areas in my life. I did make it with Boilermaker welding, because that's what I am in my trade, and I was successful and am successful in that area, but other areas I have not been successful. However, beyond all of that, we can be successful in the kingdom of God serving the Lord Jesus Christ, and you aren't going to be able to do it any other way than the way that Jesus of Nazareth did it when he was here on this earth. There's only one way to be successful, and that's to follow the plan and the pattern that Jesus laid down that we find here in Acts chapter 10, verse 38. And this is applicable to every person in this place. It doesn't matter what your IQ is. It does not matter where you come from. Your gender has nothing to do with it. It's to do with your heart, and it's nothing to do with what someone may have said. And if you've had a rough upbringing, or someone's being mean to you, it's to do with the kingdom principles that we find here in this passage. So what did Jesus do in Acts chapter 10, verse 38? How did he do it? That's what it says, how Jesus did it. First of all, it says there that he got anointed. Jesus got anointed by the Spirit of the living God. That's why he was able to do the things that he could do. What we need to do is to get anointed and to stay anointed with the Spirit of God. With the Spirit of God, you can do some amazing things. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3 from verse 20, it says that we can do more, or God can do more in us and through us than we can ask or imagine, according to the power of the Spirit of God who works in us. Friends, I want to see you successful. And I don't want excuses today. Oh, well, this, or oh, well, that, or oh, well, something else. I could make excuses today as much as anyone in this place. But I decided I'm going to lay them aside as of today, and I'm going to get anointed and stay anointed. You see, this is the report of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 3, verse 21, it says this: when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too, and he was praying, and heaven was opened up, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, "You are my Son, whom I love. I am well pleased with you." So here is Jesus starting to move from the natural into the supernatural. This is the direction that he has decided to go. He's the Son of God. He's the Son of Man. He's subject to all the tests and temptation of the world around him, but he makes a quality decision. I need to get anointed. And so his first step is he's going to get baptized. What happens when he gets there? John the Baptist says, no, don't bother about it. It's an optional extra. You don't need to do it. That's what he says to him. But Jesus says, no, I'm going to fulfill everything that's right, and I'm going to do it. So he gets baptized in water, knowing full well that every time he steps forward in the purposes of God, God is going to strengthen him. And what happens? The Spirit of God comes on him like a dove. It clothes him. It's all around him. Some people are happy just to be in the presence collectively of God. It's great to be here. It's great to sing these songs, but Monday's coming and I want more. How about you? Do you want more? Jesus wanted more, because a little bit further on here in Luke chapter 4, verse 1, it says, Jesus full of the Holy Spirit. It's one thing to be in a nice Holy Ghost meeting. It's one thing to live in your parents' anointing or to live in the pastor's anointing and be alongside them and let them take the front run while you stand behind them. But it's another thing to be full of the Spirit yourself. It's another thing to be a crucible that carries the Spirit of God, the person of the Spirit of God with you day by day by day. I decided I have to change. This is just a couple of weeks ago. I was not happy with my life. And here I am telling everybody else what to do. I was not happy. I decided, God, I am sick of denying you. I've got to speak up more for you. I've got to make the most of every opportunity. And I'm going to do it this day. I make a decision that I'm going to speak for you on every occasion, everywhere, in every place, wherever there is the slightest opportunity. So I get picked up from Melbourne Airport a few days ago in a minibus with a man driving it. He looks a bit different. He acts a bit different. I think he's got some gender problems or something by the looks of things, but we get talking. So I tell him about the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell him that I'm coming over here to hopefully encourage a few people. And so we have a good talk about how God loves us and all of those kind of things. That's it. I get to the depot. I go in there and the man says, "What are you doing?" I said, "I want a car. I got to go to Mount Gambier." And before long, we are talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. I go out to my nephew's place, who's an unsaved man. Before long, we're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to get anointed, friends, and so do I as well, and stay anointed. It's one thing to be in the glory cloud. It's another thing to be filled with the Spirit of the living God, and that's where I want to go with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, not only that, it says a little bit further, he returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit of God into the desert. I want you to know this is not for the faint-hearted, this message today. Because if you are choosing not just to be the Holy Spirit coming on you, the Holy Spirit coming in you, and then you choose to be led by the Spirit of God, what am I saying here? God is God, yeah, and you're you, and you have the choice, and so do I have the choice. Are we going to be led or not led? Sometimes the Holy Spirit tells me some stuff that I think's really crazy and illogical. But in the end, I got a choice, submit or not submit, do it or not do it. So Jesus is now being led by the Spirit into the desert. Who wants to go into the desert? There's no cappuccinos there. You've got to come here for a decent cappuccino. You ain't going to get it out there in the desert. All you got's the wild animals and all the rest of it. And there's nothing to eat there. There's nothing to drink there. You got no friends there. But it was in the desert he conquered the power of the devil. He conquered death and hell on the cross of Calvary. And he conquered the devil in the desert. And sometimes you can be led into a place that's hard and it's difficult and you've got all these enemies around you and you've got all these issues. It's because God trusts you because he knows you're going to stand up and say, "Enough of that crap. I'm going to walk with God." That's the leading of the Holy Spirit. Are you up for it today is what I want to know in this place. I'm not wasting my time. Jesus was led by the Spirit of God and he defeated that horrible thing in the desert. And when he walked into Nazareth and he walked into that place, he came in the power of the Spirit of God, and every sickness and every demon and everything from hell had to flee because the yoke was broken in the desert. And he drove them out with a word. And I thought, God, that's a key for success if ever there is one. Get anointed. And stay anointed. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. Point number one. Are you prepared to be led? Because who knows where it's going to be? but you'll have the power to do what you got to do. God is looking for people that will stand out in a crowd today, and I think I'm in the right place for that. Definitely. Well, that's point number one for our steps of success. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the power of the Holy Spirit. And then the second thing is that he went out. Let me go back to this reading. Just make sure I've got it right. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who are under the power of the devil, because God was with him. The second thing that we have to do is to go out. Jesus went out to the towns and the villages all around him and preached the word of God. Too many people are sitting at home waiting for God to move in their lives. And what they're doing is saying, God, it's your turn. And he's saying, no, it's your turn. And they're saying, no, you go first. He's saying, no, you go first. No, you go first. And no one's going anywhere. God in heaven and man on earth. We're all just sitting there like knots on logs. Jesus said, go and I'll be with you. Matthew chapter 18 from verse 18. And he was with them as they went out. It's time to dust off yourself and go out. It might be down the road. It might be into another classroom at school. It might be somewhere else. I don't know. It might be Vanuatu. Could be somewhere else. But God would have you to go out just like Jesus did. Because when you go out from yourself. You're going out with a purpose to do something. To do something in the kingdom of God. But just a minute, I've got to finish my Pokemon game or whatever it is. Pokemon, by the way, means pocket demon. If you want to chase that, that's fine. That's up to you. I wouldn't bother, but it's optional. The screen kills us at times. I've got one here, but it's okay at the moment. You've got to go out face to face. Don't sit in a room where you all text one another. Suppose not many people do that here, but there could be someone. Face to face, when you go out, you're carrying the anointing of God. Ladies, I want to encourage you today, if you need a new set of clothes and a new outfit to go out, I authorize you to go and buy it, whatever it takes. And all the men said, yes, come on. You guys, these ladies have got to go out. We've got to go out. There's a job to do. Jesus went out. He got anointed. He went out to the towns and the villages. If you don't go out and you sit at home, it's who's going first, no one is, and we're all just sitting there getting bored. Success is when you move. God moves with you. That's what the scripture says. He said, go into all the world and I will be with you to the end of the age. Oh, but I don't feel anointed. Well, it doesn't matter. You are. Oh, but I don't know what to say. Well, it doesn't matter. He'll fill your mouth with what to say. But I don't know what to do. When you get there, you will know what to do. That's called faith. And it's time for us to operate in that faith. So Jesus got anointed. The second thing he did is he went out. The third thing is he did good. That's what it says in that verse. And he went out and he did good. He brought healing and all of those things. It's time to do good. Someone asked me today, how long have I been doing this ministry? I said, 1986. In 1986, I was born again before then. I came out of the hardware shop on Saturday morning. I was building a house. I ran into a man that I'd met in a church in Launceston. We were at Exeter. And I'd said hello to him a couple of times. His name was Pedro. He was a Dutchman. Any Dutchman here? Anyway, that's who he was. I said, hello, Pedro, how are you today? He broke down in tears and started crying. I looked around, it was embarrassing. So I said, get in your car, follow me, come down to my place. We made him coffee and we prayed for him and he went home. But before he left, he said, can I come back again, please? I'm in terrible trouble. I said, yeah, make it Wednesday night. I'm working shift work and all the rest of it. Come on Wednesday night. 7:30, knock, knock, knock. I said, hello, Pedro, how are you? Broke down in tears again. I said, get in here quick, sit down. I made his coffee. We prayed, we read a verse, we sang a song, whatever. I don't know what we did, but anyway, it was all good. And he left 3 weeks in a row. He's weeping the fourth week. He didn't. On the fifth week, some people from downtown yelled out to me, a retired couple. They said, excuse me, we know who you are and we want to come to your house. I said, come on Wednesday night. Doing good. So on Wednesday night, they came and then they said, a few weeks later, they said, we like these meetings. We know someone called Judy who would like coming to these meetings. I should have smelled a rat by then, but I didn't. We're having these meetings, apparently. I didn't know we were having meetings. I'm just doing good. If they want coffee, I'll give them coffee. If they want tea, I'm giving them tea. If they want prayer, I'm giving them prayer. Whatever they want. If they want food, I'm giving them food. And that's what we did. Well, more and more and more and more people came because God saw I was faithful with one Dutchman and no one else knew. Only Denise, my wife. God saw that I was being faithful in the little, in doing good. God saw I was fair dinkum about this message and following the Lord Jesus Christ. So before long, we ended up with a church on our hands. I managed to see that church grow. Most of my ministry in that church was furniture removal stuff. People would ring me up all the time and say, can you give me a hand to move this? Can you give me a hand to move that? Can you give me a hand to weld something up? Doing good. I went up the northeast of Tasmania. I'll shut up in a minute, but I went up there and I saw this farmer and he said, oh, farmers are very unusual people. I can tell you. They're the same everywhere you go. And he said, I've got this bit of machinery that's broken down. Could you have a look at it? And I said, oh, yeah. And I said, well, you got to do this and you got to do that and you got to do that and it'll work. He said, I'd do it if I had the gear with me. He said, oh, I've got a welding machine. I said, but I got no overalls. He said, no, we've got overalls. I said, I got no boots. He said, we've got boots. In the end, I gave in. I welded up his machine. Jesus did good. He fed them. He did all this stuff for them. He got them to get the net over the other side and get the fish. He did good all of his ministry. He got anointed. He went out and he did good. Well, I baptized 6 people in the Ringarooma River in the middle of winter because of welding. And doing good. God takes the little things that you do and multiplies them and gives them kingdom eternal value. If you will have the faith to get anointed and stay anointed, to go out and look for those opportunities and do good, it may be a little seed and invariably it is. But that seed will germinate and grow, and a church sprung up on the northeast as a result of my welding abilities, which are reasonable. He did good. Are you going to live in the confines of selfishness, or are you going to be the woman and man of God that are prepared to go out and do good? And then number 4, he healed all who were oppressed by the devil. The Bible says in Mark 16:15, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Verse 17, these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they'll drive out demons. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll pick up snakes with their hands and they'll drink deadly poison and it will not hurt them. They'll place their hands on sick people and they will get well. After the Lord Jesus spoke to them, He was taken up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them, confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. Friends, God can use you to bring healing and deliverance in people's lives. You're saying to me, John, how does it happen? Well, I don't really know. All I know is that God will move through you to bring these things to pass in your life. Some time back, I went to southern Sudan. I went with a farmer. Farmers are getting a mention here today. And I went with an engineer. So we had to do some building work, and I preached every night and I preached on Sundays. Anyway, this lady came to us. And she said, John, I've not been able to, Pastor John there, I've not been able to sleep for years. I have nightmares every night. I said, well, let us have a cup of tea. I'm worn out. Give us 5 minutes and then we'll come over to where you live. So as we're walking over there, the engineer and the farmer came. And I said, where's this woman living? And they said, it's in what used to be the barracks of the Muslim army. That's where she lives. And as we got there, the guys are saying, we've never prayed for anyone before and we don't know what to do. She needs healing and we don't know what to do. And I said, well, don't worry about it. I said, you'll know when you get there. I said, you're just going to do it. And so we got this lady, we gathered around her. I said, Dennis and David are going to pray for you now and we're going to see this problems go. So we rebuked the enemy. We brought the healing power of God. And she slept that night and she slept ever since. Another lady I was called to and she'd had big problems. She couldn't sleep. I said, how long haven't you been sleeping for? She said, 50 years, over 50 years. I said to her, she was Lithuanian. I said, sister, what happened at that time? She said, too terrible to say. I cannot say. I'm thinking, what do I do about this? This woman's as tight as a drum. She needs healing. She needs deliverance. God says that he'll do it. And she's as tight as anything. Holy Spirit, what am I supposed to say? And suddenly it came to my mind. I said, sister, I am a priest. And I am used to hearing confessions of people and praying for people in need in Nazi Germany. And she was a nurse. And she was forced at nightmares she's having as a result of flashback to this. But God is able to deliver. So I said to her, you got to be courageous. This is not for the faint-hearted. I said to her, did you want to do this? And she was horrified. No, no, no. I said, well, sleeping, I don't know. All I know today is, no matter what the issue is, if you will get anointed, and that you don't feel as though you're anointed at times. I don't feel as though I'm married today. My wife's 2,000 kilometres south down over there on the mainland. I don't feel married today, but I can assure you I am married today. Some days I feel more married than what I do on other days. When my wife is instructing me what she wants done, I can tell you I feel very, very married. But today, the coast is clear. For now. It's the same with the anointing of God. If you go by your feelings, not by faith, and you go by what someone says, you'll never make it. But if you will go by the word of God and believe in the anointing that he's put within you, you can go out. You can do good and you can see the power of God move and the oppressed set free because God will work with you. So the farmer and the engineer were highly qualified in certain things, but until that point, they were unsuccessful in their ministry. But from that point on, and I met one of them up at Horsham just recently on the way down, they have become successful in the things of God. How did Jesus do it? Here he is. He's laid aside his reputation. He's laid aside his kingship. He's laid aside all of those things and come to an imperfect world to die on Calvary as a substitute for humanity and take their sin to the cross so that they could be free. How's he going to do such a project? Impossible. Impossible with all of the stuff that's happening in this world. No, it's not. Get anointed. Go out as the man of God. Do good and heal all who are oppressed by the power of the devil. And God was with him, it says. I believe our best days, I've told you some history. But that's history. You know, what happened in Sudan, what happened in Vanuatu, what happened, whatever. Thank God for it. But today's a new day. And we must be looking forward to the joys and the challenges and the successes and the things that God has for us. That's why I said to you, I'm dissatisfied. Just 2 weeks ago with my life, I thought, something's got to change, John, in you. You've got to start to walk with God more fully and give a report and share Jesus Christ with everyone that you come in contact with. I've had a fantastic week before I came here, and this is all right as well, because I got opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. You just got to take that opportunity, that small thing, and go for it. I'll finish with this. Apparently, there was a study done, an extensive study during the Second World War, in the UK, in England. And to their amazement, what they found was there was very, very little mental sickness in England during the Second World War in the population. And they realized what had happened was there was a common cause. Everybody was fighting for their survival. So everybody was looking out beyond themselves. They all had to take action. No matter what age you were on the home guard or whatever it was, everybody was involved. If you were a young child, you had to be transported out of the population centres and live in the country. Everyone was affected and everyone was looking out, not in. Friends, I think it's time for us to look out. I think it's time for us to trust in what Jesus has done for us. We solemnized it. We agreed together because we had communion today. Jesus has done it all. Now what I've got to do, get that anointing flowing and be led, not by my ideas, because they're crazy at times. Still saved, but they're crazy. You could put them out. Let the Holy Spirit lead me. And we're going to see some great things happen. Would you like to be a success today? It's just a choice. Because Jesus has laid the foundation for it all and shown us how to walk forward. You can do it. You can do it. Don't let people squeeze you into their mold. The scripture says in Romans 12, 1 and 2, but be renewed by, be strengthened by the renewing of your mind. Don't let people put you down. I'm just a retired person. I'm just a school boy, a school girl. I'm just a this. I'm just a that. I'm just a... Rubbish. You're a child of the living God. He came for you. He paid the price for you. Now it's time to rise, and that's what we're going to do.